What's up, Ortandians? This is your girl, Ortandia, and you are tuning in to another dope episode of House of Ortandia. How y'all doing? What's going on? How's your life? How's everything been going since the last time we spoke? So today, on today's episode, we're going to talk about what's in your entertainment bag. I'm going to tell you what's in my entertainment bag. And in the comments below, you can tell me what's in your entertainment bag. First things first, what y'all been watching on TV, TV-wise? Y'all know I used to love my Chicago shows. Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Law, Chicago, what was the other one? Fire, PD, Law, Medicine. Then they start messing up and I stopped watching all of them. They started taking off, you know, major people, and I don't like that. If I'm watching a show and it's all going good, I used to even like The Shot. I don't even like The Shot no more. It's like you start removing major people or the acting start getting terrible. I'm like, I'm done with all of them. So what I've been watching, I love documentaries. Anyway, that is my favorite style of movie. Favorite thing to watch, documentaries followed by black films with majority black characters in it, action, love stories, followed by comedy. And the last type of movie I would like would be, that's it. I don't watch scary movies. That's pretty much it. Those are pretty much it. But what I've been watching, if you have not, all of these are on Netflix. So I've been heavy on the Netflix, right? So I've been watching. I watched Marching Orders. So if you've not watched that, go check it out. It came out 2 years ago, but it's a documentary about Bethune-Cookman. It's about kids trying to get on the band, for everything from the drum line to trying to get into the Battle of Bay. They're just trying to become a marching band member of Bethune-Cookman, right? They're also trying to get on the 14K dance squad. And they're also trying to get on the flag team. Man, it is rough. It's rough for them. Because they gotta get the steps right. They got to know how to do this kind of movement, that kind of movement. It's hot as crap in Florida. So they're trying out in the middle of the heat. It's a good show. And every time it's a show about a black HBCU, I'm always happy. I watched another one earlier this year. It was on YouTube. It was about Grambling University. It was about their dancers. So I can't remember what it was called though. So if you go on YouTube and just type in Grambling dancers, Grambling reality show. It was kind of like a reality show almost. Just type that in on YouTube. Same thing, but the only thing different is they were trying to get on the dance squad for Grambling. I think they're called I can't remember what they're called, sorry. But anywho, back to this. Go check out the marching orders. I'm telling you, the band director, he's a prick. But listen, he is the man. Like everybody that goes to Bethune-Cookman, they want to be a part of his band. But I personally couldn't do it because you ain't going to be yelling at me, talking to me crazy like that. Although I did go through boot camp. I was in the Air Force. And for that period of time, I had to deal with that. But anyway, the next thing, I know a lot of people don't watch this next one, The Last Dance. First of all, I wasn't watching it. I was like, I don't care. I'm not a Michael Jordan fan. I've always been a Pippen fan. I don't care. I'm going to watch it. But I finally watched it last week, and it was really, really good. I still think Michael Jordan is a prick, but but Scottie was on there. Horace Grant was on there, my favorite players. Bill Cartwright was on there. John Paxson was on there. Steve Kerr was on there. They talked to Reggie Miller, who I don't care nothing about. But Reggie Miller was on there. They talked to a couple of other players. I can't remember. But it was really, really good. It just talked about everything from when he was a kid, when he played in high school, to when he went to college, played for Coach Smith, to becoming a Bull. It just ran throughout his career when he first retired and went to play baseball down in Birmingham and then came back, and how he just won. I'm getting excited. I absolutely loved the Bulls. They were my favorite team in the 90s. Chicago Bulls, Chicago Bears, and the Chicago Cubs and Atlanta Braves. Those were my favorite teams in the 90s, right? I don't know where I get this love for Chicago from. I've never even stepped foot in Chicago, I promise you. But I've always loved Chicago teams. And it just brought me back to a time where just life was just bomb. The music was bomb. The sports was bomb. TV was bomb. Everything was just bomb in the 90s. Everything was better in the 90s. I'm just, period. Seriously. But, man, if you have not watched The Last Dance, and go check it out. It shows shots that he made, unbelievable shots. Shots that John Paxson made. It reminded me of the time when Scottie Pippen refused to get on the court with like 20 seconds left in the game. I forgot all about that. I was so pissed at Scottie Pippen for that. I was like, I cannot, like, y'all don't understand how that series, man, that documentary just took me back to that time in my life. I was in my 20s. I wasn't quite in my 20s. When they won their first ring, when they won, like 93, 94, something like that. I think I was like 20. I had just turned 20 when they won their first one. It just took me back to I love it. It reminded me of all the coaches that they had. I remember Doug Collins, but I forgot the coach before Doug Collins. And it just, yeah. Anyway, moving on, because I can talk about the Bulls of the 90s all night. But I want y'all to watch it and check it out for yourself. Then I watched a documentary called Strong Island. And it was about a young man. This is a social justice piece, which is not really social. I'm just going to tell you what it's about. A young man, a black man, it happened up in New York, Strong Island, Long Island, New York. But a black man was murdered by a white, he wasn't a man at the time. He was like a young man, like, I'm gonna say early 20s. He was murdered by a white guy, a white kid. And the white kid got off claiming self-defense, although the black guy was unarmed. And so it's heart-wrenching, man. What happened to him, how he was murdered, how he had his whole life ahead of him. He was about to become a CO. He had just, got accepted and all of this. And it just destroyed his family. When he was murdered, it just destroyed his family, man. And there's still no justice. Like I said, that teenage white boy, that he had to be like 14, 15. I won't tell you the story. I'm trying to tell you tidbits without telling you. I want you to go watch the documentary. It's called Strong Island, and that white teenager destroyed a family, pretty much. And he got, like I said, he got away with murder. He got away with capital murder. And man, it was heartbreaking. It was really heartbreaking. His sister is the filmmaker, and she's telling it from her eyes. Her mom is also on there. Their brother and sister, other brother and sister is also on there. The police that was involved have since retired, but they were on the documentary as well talking about it. It's just the DA was crooked. Like, the family that were the young man who murdered the black guy, his family was connected, like new police and all that. It was just horrible. It same stuff, different day, same stuff that we go through now. Another documentary on there that I watched is called Audrey and Daisy, Audrie and Daisy, Daisy. It's about these young girls, young teenage girls, who were raped by young men in the community. This is in the Midwest, and how the whole community, I think they were football players, these young men, and the whole community turned their backs on these girls, call these girls liars. These boys couldn't have raped you because, you know, the girls had went to a party with these guys. They had gotten drunk. Still no reason for them to be raped and violated and all of that stuff. But when I tell you, the whole community turned their backs on these girls, bullied these girls, berated these girls. Everything you can think happened to these girls happened to them. They were re-violated again by their community. And so they had some of them, one of them had to move. The other one does like motivational speaking. They're grown women now, but when this happened to them, they were teenage girls, and it just pissed me off. It made me want to go into schools and talk to young girls about being unified and sticking together. And if you go somewhere with your sister friend, don't let her go off by herself. Don't let her go off with no group of guys, you know. Just having each other's back, whether you're in high school, middle school, or college, women having each other's back. It's a heartbreaker. You're going to be crying now. It's a tearjerker. One of the young ladies went into a very deep, deep depression where she tried to take her life and all kinds of stuff. Like, if you could only imagine. And so go check out Audrey and Daisy. Another documentary that I checked out was called The Long Shot. No, not The Long. It's called Long Shot. This is another one. This is about Mexican-American young man out on the West Coast who was accused of murdering a witness from another case. And he was innocent. But if I tell you this, I'm pretty much giving you the story. But anyway, I'm going to tell you anyway. But go check it out. Please go check it out. Long Shot. But he was vindicated because the time that they say the murder happened, he was at an LA Dodgers baseball game with his daughter. And it just so happens someone in Hollywood was filming a movie there at that game that night. And he was on the film. And they never deleted it. They deleted him out. They never, photoshopped him out or nothing like that. And that's how he was able to get off. You got to watch the whole thing because it's a lead up to how they were able to get that film and all of that. It's correct. If that wouldn't have happened, if that movie film production team would not have been at that game, he would have gotten life and possibly the death penalty. And he was like in his 20s. So he's telling the story, the young man. And it's just crazy how this kind of stuff can happen. You know, I'm always going to bring them back to social justice because y'all know I'm a Christian activist. It's crazy how this kind of stuff happens to black and brown people more times than not. And it takes a long shot to get us off from life imprisonment, the death penalty, 30 years, 60 years, 80 years in prison, all of this stuff. It literally takes a long shot. And so that's crazy. And that's why we need prison reform. And that's why we need police reform. And that's why we need just political reform with every racist system that's ever been set up to oppress and dehumanize black and brown people. We need these systems. That's why we're in the middle of a new civil rights era right now in 2020. That's because anti-blackness and anti-Latina, Latinx people, it has been going on for hundreds. Anti-blackness, I should say, has been going on for hundreds of years. I know I'm on a rabbit trail, but just stick with me. Has been going on for hundreds of years, and it's time for those systems to be uprooted, torn down, destroyed, and rebuilt. And so go check out Long Shot. And the last thing that I've been watching is a documentary also on Netflix called The Remix. Now this is a more light-hearted one. It's about female stylists in hip hop, like Misa Hylton. If you don't know who Misa Hylton is, she has a son by Sean Puffy Combs. She styled everybody from Mary J. Blige to Jodeci to Little Kim. When Little Kim went to the MTV Awards, she had that little pasty on her boob. Misa Hilton styled that. Dapper Dan is on there. Walk Aware, the creator of Walk Aware, the female that style Wu-Tang Clan, and then she has a whole line out now called Walk. Well, she not out now. Walk Aware has been out since the 90s. She has since relaunched it here in the last few years. And so go check out, it's called The Remix. If you're into hip hop and then the styles, the fashion styles and all of that, you want to check this documentary out. Okie doke. I'm going to take a little bit of break, a little bit of breather. Give me a glass of water. I've been talking a long time. We're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back. And I want to know what y'all been reading. I'm going to tell y'all what I've been reading. All right. Thank y'all for coming back. Okay, so what are y'all reading? But what I'm reading is two books, and I'm a slow reader. I've been reading these books for months now because I start and then I'll stop for like weeks, and then I'll start back again, and then I'll stop for like weeks. And so I'm like, okay, I'm endeavoring to finish these two books by at least by the end of September so I can start a new book in October. Y'all probably like, girl, you can finish. No, I'm a slow reader. I start and stop. I just said that. Okay, I'm reading a book called Surrender, The Heart God Controls by Nancy Lee DeMoss. And then my second book is Oneness Embraced Through the Eyes of Tony Evans, written by Dr. Tony Evans. Now, the Surrender book is about, pretty much in a nutshell, about being a slave of Jesus Christ. How not being your own person, not giving up your rights, giving up your comfort, giving up your opinions, giving up everything you think you have a right to, and surrendering your life to Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. He can tell you where to go. He can tell you to marry, not to marry. He can tell you go over in that community and serve that community. Go overseas and go to a mission field over here. Give up all of your money and move to Zimbabwe. You know, that's what this book is about. It's the testimonies of people that have done that. I'm going to read you guys an excerpt from it that I read tonight. I picked it back up tonight, but I want y'all to read this here. How y'all going to read it? I want y'all to hear. Here we go. Let me give y'all a little excerpt. It says, a servant is defined as a person employed to perform services for another. A slave, on the other hand, is a human being who is owned as property by and is absolutely subject to the will of another. Okay? And that being God, not human beings. And then it talks about the Lord Jesus in this next passage. It says, he took the form of a servant, the doulos, the lowest form of slave, in obedience to his father's will and out of love for his father and for the bride and family his father had given him. He humbled himself and offered himself to be a bond slave, so he could deliver those who were in bondage to sin. And then lastly, I leave you with this. It says, certainly these men understood, and he's talking about Peter and Paul prior to that, but it says, certainly these men understood that they were also sons of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. But like Joseph Tassan, they wanted to be known first and foremost as the slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, just like I said, this book, I get like a frog in my throat. Like, I see how far I am from this because I have my own opinions. I have my own way. I want to do it like this. I don't want to do it like that. And God, you know, you're not moving fast enough for me. And God, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. That is not nobody's slave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much of me in this, my relationship with Jesus. And so I need this book to be reminded of where the position that I play in this relationship. Yes, I'm a daughter of God. Yes, I'm the bride of Christ, part of the bride of Christ. But I'm also a friend of God and a friend of Christ. All of that is true. But I'm also to be the slave of Jesus Christ. I am to be led of him. I am not to lead him. You know what I'm like? That's where that's the part I'm supposed to play in this relationship, and I am failing miserably. I just want you to know, okay? And the other book I'm reading is, like I said, it's called Oneness Embraced, and I want to read you some excerpts out of this book. And this is about the church being the sole force of one of racial reconciliation, racial reconciliation in this country and in the world, but certainly in this country. I want to read you a part of it. Let's see. It talks about how the slave, the African slave, how they were able to gravitate to Jesus Christ and how they just fell in love with him, although their oppressors were using Jesus as a means to dehumanize them. In spite of that, they fell in love with Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus and the humanity of Jesus. Now, you know, you got to really love Jesus to be being oppressed, dehumanized, devalued, to not even be considered a human being. And the person that's doing that to you is using Jesus Christ as a reason to why you should be subjected to them. You got to be super saved to still accept this Jesus. So let's see. I want to read you some things that I've underlined in this book. Okay. Thus, the story of Israel's deliverance was a story that was easy for the slaves to transpose to their own experience. It became clear that God was on the side of the slaves and against the oppression of their masters. Israel's story became the Black community's story. I'm going to read another aspect. Okay, here we go. This right here took me out. It says the Black church saw in Jesus one who suffered as they were suffering, one who had experienced oppression as they were experiencing oppression, yet they also saw one who was able, by virtue of his divine power, to overcome the chains of enslavement. So in other words, they saw Jesus as this great, powerful, holy, magnificent deity God that he is, but they also saw him as a friend, someone that walks with you in the deepest, darkest, dirtiest part of your life, someone that holds your hand and makes you feel like you're the only one in the room, the one that loves you in spite of your flaws and in spite of what you don't get right and do get right. They saw him as both, and in the midst of what they were undergoing, they saw Jesus as this close and personal friend. They may not have had all the theological terms and the 15 principles of that and the Greek and the Hebrew of the other, but they saw Jesus Christ as God and friend, and they had reverence for him as God, but they had a close, personal, heart-to-heart relationship with him as friend. And that's something that I can't even do, and I'm supposedly free. You see, like, I'm telling you, you got to get this book. And it also talks about, in chapters past, it talked about how the church was complicit in dehumanizing Black people, how the church co-signed that foolishness that we Black people weren't even human beings, that our brains were smaller, that we were to be subjected into as property and all of that. How the church co-signed that back, you know, in the 1600s. You know what I'm saying? And so it talks about that as well. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Tony Evans is a Black man. He's a Black theologian out of Dallas, Texas. He runs Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. He's one of the most, he's up there. He's one of the top theologians in the nation. His daughter is Priscilla Shire and Crystal Evans. His son is Tony Evans, the gospel singer. He's no flake. You know, he got his doctorate from Dallas Theological Seminary, which is a prestigious theological school seminary. So, but then it talks about Black people being in the Bible, how God, you know, how we are, we can find our dignity and our value and our worth through the people that look like us in the Bible. And so you got to get this book. Again, Oneness Embraced Through the Eyes of Tony Evans. A Fresh Look at Reconciliation, the Kingdom, and Justice. Again, by Dr. Tony Evans. So that's what I'm reading. What else? What's in the news? Where do you get your news from? For me, if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I'm into the forward progression of Black people. And so I want to know, when I get my news, I want to know what's going on with Black people. So I'm going to give you three sources of where I get my news and information from. One is called the Black Information Network. It's www.binnews.com. That's www.binnews.com. Also go on theroot.com and also webuyblack.com. When I told you We Buy Black, is like, if you could think of what's the highest high-end stores you could think of. Say Prada, Gucci, and Louis Vuitton. So put all of them together on a platform and you will find We Buy Black. But We Buy Black is better because this is where you find all of the anything that you need to purchase, in from luggage to purses to shoes to makeup to clothes to cleaning products to home decor. Everything you could possibly think of is on WeBuyBlack.com, and they were created by Black people. I saw some. It's a piece of luggage that I'm gonna get on there. Get myself that for Christmas. It's gorgeous. It has it's red, black, and green, and it's like a duffel bag. It has the face of a woman with natural hair, like just her silhouette. The bag is dope. The bag is flyer than fly. So I got to get me one of them. But the other two sites, theroot.com, everything political, everything they also do has community news in there, political news on their root. They have entrepreneurship things and entertainment things as it pertains to Black people. Same thing with the Black Information Network. Check all of them out. All of them. Last but not least, what have I been listening to? Three people. Not in constant rotation, but these are three of my favorite, rappers/singers kind of situation. The first one is Rhapsody. Rhapsody, hands down, is the best. I don't care. In this day and age, she is the best, hands down. If you don't know who Rhapsody is, go check her out. She's on Instagram. Sure, she's on Facebook, but you can get her music on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, anywhere where you buy music, you can get Rhapsody. And she spells her name Rhapsody. She's just dope. She's a lyricist. So if you're into lyricists like Nas, Jay-Z, Big Daddy Kane, I'm gonna go even further back. Big Daddy Kane, Shane, MC Shane, Shantae, MC Light, that kind of vibe, Rod Digga. If you into those kind of lyricists, Rhapsody is who you want. Best hands down. No female rapper, not Cardi B, what's the other girl? Nicki Minaj, not Megan Thee Stallion, none of them chicks can't mess with Rhapsody. She's just dope. The second one I'm listening to is D-Smoke. D-Smoke got a song called Black Habits, which I absolutely love. He gives you that Kendrick Lamar, that Big Crit, that J. Cole vibe. He give you that kind of vibe. He's dope. I don't even know. Oh, okay. The BET Awards. I think that's how I came across him. He was on there with his brother, Sir. I think that's his brother's name. And then his mom was on there singing. He's just dope. D-Smoke. He's also YouTube. Watch his videos on YouTube. He's on Instagram. Stream his music everywhere. And my last, but definitely not least, dear sweet sister, Moo Moo Fresh. this girl, Lauryn Hill, 2.0. She sings her throat off and she raps her throat off. The girl is just, and it's MU Fresh, a beast, a beast, a beast. And so, yeah, I just wanted to do like an entertainment type situation today and see where y'all at with it. See what I want to know what y'all been listening to, what y'all been reading, where y'all getting y'all news from, and what y'all been watching. So drop me some comments on iTunes. When you listen, checking out the podcast, you can also leave me a voice message via Anchor. You can check me out on Google Play or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. If you go into Google and type in House of Artandia, I will show up. Be sure to subscribe, thumbs me up. Be sure to send your people, tell your people's people about my podcast. Let's get the numbers up. Let's get my following up. And I'm going to keep bringing y'all just information and news and my opinions, my commentary on all of it. All right. And like I always say, I want to see you in heaven with me. And I'm out.